Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Seen a cowboy on the run. Seen a priest without his pants.
From newsounds.org, it's time for another remote edition of Soundcheck, our series of live performances and interviews. I'm John Schaefer. The Dust Bowl Fairies have been described as a dark carnival band, a queer cabaret band, a goth performance art troupe. But some people in New York's Hudson Valley have learned not to worry about what to call them. Just enjoy the group's weird tales and wild instrumentation. Their latest album is The Plague Garden, perfect for the plague year of 2020. They're led by Ryder Cooley, who plays accordion and sings, and we'll meet a few of the other Dust Bowl Fairies in a couple of minutes. But right now, Ryder and guitarist John B. Wooden are going to start us off with a live performance of The Vampire Tango. The song's called Vampire Tango. That is a live performance from the Dust Bowl Fairies, and in particular, the group's singer and songwriter and accordion player, Ryder Cooley, and guitarist John B. Wooden. Ryder joins me along with Lisa M. Thomas, the filmmaker responsible for the Candy Store video that we'll be seeing and hearing later, and Liz LaJudas, who is the bass player and vocalist. And Ryder, you introduced Liz to me as the River Fairy and Lisa as the Film Fairy. Which fairy are you then?
Well, the band calls me the fairy leader.
So you're the fairy queen,
basically. The fairy queen, leader queen. Yes.
So this song, Vampire Tango, is from the latest album called The Plague Garden. And there are some moments on the album that are pretty clearly about this time period that we're living in. You know, the pandemic tango has this great line, 6 feet farther or 6 feet under. What about Vampire Tango? Is that somehow a pandemic-related song?
It's not really. It was written before the pandemic. It's about voodoo, and but I would say so many of our songs kind of tie into the, I don't know, we have like a dark humor to our songs, so you could reinterpret them for these days. I'm sure every single one of them would somehow make sense.
Well, and that is one of the funny things about records that have been released this year, is that many of them unintentionally have taken on other sort of layers of meaning. On the other hand, as I say, there are songs that are very specific to this moment. And I know we're going to get to hear you and John doing another one with Dust Bowl Caravan in a few minutes. But tell me how you came to this kind of this dark carnival music, as you call it. How did you get your start in music?
Well, I was very inspired by my grandmother, who was a piano player, and she also played the accordion. But I did actually play trombone for a number of years as a child. I never wanted to play the instrument like that the girls were supposed to play. So I played the trombone for as long as I could stand to. I got stuck in the back of a lot of orchestra pits and band pits. And at a certain point, I just couldn't handle it anymore. But there's one thing I'll just never forget with that trombone. There was a kid, like a boy, and chasing me home from school. And I think he wanted to kiss me or something, and I was so grossed out, and I was running with my trombone, and I swung around, not meaning to, but I whacked him with the trombone, and he backed off and went home. So I also play the saw, which is so wonderful to play the singing saw, and then that's such a different instrument where you can play in between so many notes and really bend your notes, and I bow it, so it's a little bit more close. I mean, I know it's considered a percussion instrument, but it's closer to a violin.
Well, I mistook it for a theremin when I heard it on the record, and that must happen all the time, that people, you know, who are familiar with that instrument from B movies of the 50s, they hear that odd, almost eerie vocalese sound and assume it's a theremin. But the singing saw, it's a pretty amazing and very odd looking instrument to watch, because it's a saw. I mean, it's a real saw.
It's a real saw. And some of them, they don't, you know, some of them you can get them without the blades, but mine does have the blades. And
Wow. So you really are drawn to instruments that can hurt people.
Oh my gosh, I never put that together, but an instrument as a weapon, it's not a bad thing. It's better than a can of mace, I guess.
I guess so. Liz, what about you? How did you become the river fairy?
Well, you know, I consider myself a lifelong musician. I grew up in a really musical family. I have four sisters. So there was a lot of singing in my household, and a lot of the bands that I was in when I was younger were really male driven, which was really not my musical experience. And so when I had the opportunity to play with Ryder, I was really attracted to being in a woman led band, first of all. And also, I was very attracted to her environmental ethic because I'm an environmental professional. I'm a water educator and climate change specialist in my day job. And so I was really interested in Ryder's work that focused on extinct animals. And she has some songs with a really strong environmental ethic, and that's really what attracted me to her work. And I'm the river fairy because I'm a river person, I'm a stream person, I try to be out on the river at all times in a pair of chess waders. So when I'm not, you know, in a gown in the Dust Bowl fairies, I'm in knee boots or chess waders catching fish in the Hudson River.
Yeah.
And she does the gown really well, too.
I like them both equally.
Well, now, Liz mentions, Ryder, that, you know, occasionally things like extinct animals have come into play in your songs. And there is one of those on the Plague Garden, the song Ibex, right?
Yes, and that song is from a cycle of songs about extinct animals, and it's like one of those dark science sort of stories, you know, can we kill everything and then bring it back? That sort of thing.
Welcome to mountain high, kiss the stars and say goodbye. 7 minutes high. Final breath, the end is gone. And it's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. 7 minutes go beating by. And it's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. 7 minutes go by.
But yeah, that one did make it onto the album, and I'm so glad that it's there representing that aspect of my songwriting, because a lot of the other songs are a little bit more up-tempo and more of that like carnival feeling.
Right. You do seem to be drawn to waltzes and tangos and things that have, I mean, you mentioned the accordion, it's an instrument we associate with Central Europe and Eastern Europe, and there's definitely that flavor to a lot of the Dust Bowl Fairies music,
yeah.
Right?
When I was in San Francisco, there was just this kind of renaissance of music, the Balkan music and music of Eastern Europe, and some of my relatives are from that part of the world, so I really got swept up in it, and it really resonated for me so much. I love how sad and happy it can be at the same time.
Yeah, well, that sort of neatly gets us to the next piece that you and John are gonna do for us, which is Dust Bowl Caravan, which is a plague song of sorts, and it's kind of an upbeat song about being totally annoyed, and this, you know, it just seems to have that kind of the ethos that you're talking about with this album.
Yeah, so yeah, and Dust Bowl Caravan is the first song that I wrote really when we were at the beginning of the quarantine, and I remember when I finished it and John came over. We're neighbors, so we've been playing together through this whole pandemic time. And I played the song for him, and he was just so excited. He's a theater guy, and he mm-hmm. loves anything sort of theatrical. And he was like, oh, this is so cool. It's kind of like a drinking song. We've never had a drinking song. I didn't really mean it to be a drinking song, but you could drink to it if you want.
All right. There's an invitation for you from Ryder Cooley of the Dust Bowl Fairies. Drink along if you want. We'll hear her and John B. Wooden on guitar doing a live performance of Dust Bowl Caravan. The song appears on the Dust Bowl Fairies' latest album called The Plague Garden.
How perfect you are. You always look good while we feel so bizarre. It's annoying how perfect you are. It's annoying how perfect you are. It's annoying how perfect you are.
It's annoying how cheerful you are. you're always smiling. But we're so dour, it's annoying how cheerful you are. It's annoying how cheerful you are. It's annoying how full of cheer you are.
You're always on time when we're late. We're rather forget while you are late and straight. You are celebrated while you're outlawed. It's really not fair how popular you are. So flawless, call us a hearse. Fill up your hands, fill out your keys. Jump in a caravan, enjoy the breeze. Perfection's falling, you know it's right, it's wrong. Life's a mess, and then you're gone. It's annoying how clever you are. Perfectly clever, us and us, the star. It's annoying how clever you are. It's annoying how clever you are. It's annoying how clever you are. Oh, we're on the mend, you're on the make. Your diamond's real, ours are fake. You live in a castle, we live in a moat. You're always lush. Why are we so broke?
It's alarming how charming you are. If this is a joke, it's gone too far. It's alarming how charming you are. It's alarming how charming you are. It's alarming how full of charm you are.
Oh, why are you perfect? Why are we flawed? It's smoke and mirrors, what emerald. Bring on the wizard, call on the witch. Give us a drink, we need a stitch. Throw up your hands, throw out your keys. Jump in a caravan, enjoy the breeze. Perfection's falling, what's right is wrong. Life's a mess, and then you're gone. Throw up your hands,
throw out your keys,
jump in a caravan,
enjoy the breeze,
perfection's boring,
what's right is wrong,
life is short, and then you're gone,
throw up your hands,
throw out your keys, jump in a caravan, enjoy the breeze, perfection's boring, what's right is wrong, life is beautiful, Life is beautiful, and then you're gone.
That's called Dust Bowl Caravan, and you heard Ryder Cooley singing, playing the accordion, John B. Wooden on guitar. Ryder, which fairy is John in the...
John is the Rocket Fairy.
The Rocket Fairy.
We really gave him that name because he loves to rock out.
All right. So, Lisa M. Thomas is the film fairy sitting there with you. And Liz LaJudas is, as we heard before, the river fairy. And Liz, there is a fourth fairy in the room with you that you were petting a moment ago. Who's that?
I don't know what Hieronymus's fairy name is, but his name is Hieronymus.
Okay. Yeah, he's Hieronymus, the fairy Hieronymus. He's a very special kitty who his tail becomes a serpent sometimes and attacks him,
of
and
course
then he
it
has
does.
To attack back. So he's got a lot of demons, and that's we And so do I. So we really relate well to each other.
All right. We've heard, you know, two live, as you say, you and John have been playing together, your neighbors there in the Hudson Valley, which, by the way, have you found the Hudson Valley to be as haunted as they say it is? You know, it's one of the, you know, think of Washington Irving, but also there have been so many UFO sightings because of, probably because of the Army Air Force Base up in Plattsburgh and all the weird planes they fly up. And I mean, have you guys experienced that?
I'm going to let Lisa and Liz respond to that because they've actually been here a lot longer than me.
I don't know. My house should be haunted because of the history there, but I don't find it to be haunted.
Okay.
You know, there's a lot of old places up here, and some of them I do think have spirits in them, but I haven't had the experience of meeting any. I don't know about you, Liz.
I think there's certainly a long tradition of mysticism, and we're quite close to the Catskills. Where we are sitting right now, and the Great Wall of Manitou, which was a very important place to the Native Americans.
Yeah.
So, you know, I think that it's a place so fraught with history that there's ghosts where you want to find them.
Yeah. And for you, Ryder, isn't the song Cyanide Hotel about a haunted house?
Yeah, it's about a house. It was in Albany, New York. It's probably still there, but it is a house where I lived, and something very intense and tragic happened in the house involving cyanide, believe it or not. And so...
But not while you were living there.
Yes, while I was living there, involving the other person living in the house. So that's how the song emerged, and I wrote it. Actually, my friend Sarah Zarr started the song, and then she had some of the words in her mind, because what happened was this person who was took the cyanide and... didn't make it. She got in my foot. So this is a very haunted, as you mentioned, this is a very haunted tale. She occupied my foot, and I didn't realize it for a while, but my whole foot swole up so big that I couldn't even walk on it, and I couldn't understand what was happening. And finally, it dawned on me that I always had that one leg was always sticking out of the sheets in my bed. And I know that the housemate had run for the phone and didn't make it that night. And so I just felt like her ectoplasma, when it left her body, it grabbed onto my foot that was hanging out of the bed probably. And so then I had to get it. Her exercised out of the foot, and by this woman, Sarah Zarr, who has very many special powers. And after she successfully exercised the spirit of my former housemate from my foot, then she began writing the song, and then I put it to music, and I wrote the second verse of the song, and I think we kind of wrote the chorus together.
Mm.
So that's how that song happened.
And there was so old, she was dreaming. Knew a tree who always fell in love with dreams. There's a breed of tiny insects that crawl up in people's ears, criticize them till they go mad. If your environment is all set up to be cozy, but a sinister feeling lurks. If your only invention turns my children upside down, and it doesn't even work. You're the last song, so all crazy can go. It's a house on the hill, but when your heart grows cold, I'm growing up for myself. Feelings follow me well. It's a long, long road to the cyanide hotel.
So when I asked you if you found the Hudson Valley haunted, I mean, Albany is part of the Hudson Valley,
yeah,
is
yeah, yeah.
Very much it's, so, and that sounds like a...
So, yes, that I do find that Albany in the downtown, where the old spirits still live, that is an interesting and kind of haunted place. If you're the sort of person who tunes into that, and I often try not to tune into it, but sometimes you just can't help it.
Well, I mean, anyone listening to your songs would think that you were one of those people out there with, like, you know, the equivalent of a metal detector for ectoplasm, you know? Where can I find my next weird gothic tale? Which brings us to Candy Store, a music novella. And Lisa, as the film fairy, how were you able to, first of all, looking at the video, it looks like a real candy store. How were you able to do that?
Yeah. So we shot the video basically this past summer during COVID, and there was a one-time candy shop that had been here from like the 30s into 1990. It was called the Mayflower. So it started as a confectionery, and then I think over the years became kind of a luncheonette. But I knew that it existed, and I knew one of the owners that was still alive from that time. And all the old, like, cases and fixtures, lighting and all of that still existed in storage just behind the building where we ended up doing the video. And when I realized that none of that had been gotten rid of and that you could actually just put it back together, I was like, we have to use all the stuff from the former Mayflower. So it was just sitting there kind of waiting to be put back together. And then we got a lot of candy donated from the local health food store, Catterskill Farms here in Catskill, and from Glitter Limes in Brooklyn, donated a bunch of like the ribbon candy and the old rock candy, like the old fashioned candy came from Brooklyn, and they donated it to the video for us.
Wow. And then Liz, what was the actual shooting like? I mean, you're all in a room together during the summer.
Yeah, the actual shooting was incredible. Like, it was just, it was a really, really professional operation. So in terms of the COVID safety protocols, we had all been tested, and then everyone was masked. The band was masked when we weren't on camera. And the doors were open a lot, so there was airflow. So we felt like it was a very safe situation that we were in, especially here in Catskill, because the rate was so low at that time.
Right.
But it was also just a really magical place to be, because the store itself had actually really been transformed and felt like we were stepping back in time when we stepped into the store. So it was like spending a weekend in, sort of Depression era. we could have been filming during the 1918 pandemic.
Wow, yeah, right.
rather than the 2020.
And the song Candy Store is based on an old, it's like an old Yiddish folk song, right? Presumably not a song about the joys of arson and insurance fraud, although, Ryder, that's where you took it.
Well, I think it is about arson and insurance fraud. The first verse of the song, my grandmother taught me, and that's the song about burning the candy store down because the business is going so badly. So,
that's traditional. I thought maybe you had...
That's the traditional verse.
Okay. All right.
Yeah. And I love that, though, it was the wife that suggests it. She comes up with a plan because the husband is like, what are we going to do? And the wife's like, hey, I got an idea. Let's burn the place down. So then... along with, you know, various different bandmates over the years, I've written the rest of the verses. So burning the brothel down and burning the jailhouse down and burning the madhouse down are all Dust Bowl Fairies verses.
All right. Well, let's hear the song. You can watch the video. It's on the webpage here at newsounds.org. But right now, here's the song called Candy Store from the Dust Bowl Fairies from their album The Plague Garden.
Thank you. business was so bad. Asked the ladies what to do, and this is what they said. Takes a can of gasoline, spread it on the floor. Takes a match, makes a scratch, rock them no more.
Hey,
takes a match, makes a scratch,
rock them no more.
Hey,
takes a match, makes a scratch, rock them no more.
Once there was a jailhouse, conditions were bad. Asked the inmates what to do, and this is what they said. Ha ha! Takes a can of gasoline and spread it on the floor. Takes a match, makes a scratch, jailhouse no more.
Hey!
Takes a match, makes a scratch,
jailhouse no more.
Hey!
Takes a match, makes a scratch, jailhouse no more.
Once there was a madhouse, conditions were bad. Asked the patients what to do, this is what they said. Take a can of gasoline, spread it on the floor. Take some match, make a scratch, madhouse no more.
That's Candy Store, a music novella by the Dust Bowl Fairies. We've been speaking with Ryder Cooley, who plays the accordion and sings, Liz LeJudis, who does backing vocals and plays the bass, and Lisa M. Thomas, who did the video for Candy Store, which, as I mentioned earlier, you can find. It's right here on our webpage, newsounds.org. And Ryder, there's the brothel scene. It seems like there are a number of occasions where the Dust Bowl Fairies like to queer the narrative a little bit, and the brothel scene is one of those.
Yeah, definitely. We didn't we didn't want to just have you know, your typical girl go-go dancers in the windows. So we had one person who is queer identified, non-binary identified, dancing in the window, and his character was very androgynous, the androgynous go-go dancer.
Yeah, and a similar thing happens in the Serpentine Samba on the record, where you have a kind of a gender-bent version of, is it the Kraken? Is that what we're
Yeah, yeah, and that song was so fun to write. We kind of wrote it all together. The band helped with the verses. But yes, that so the Kraken is the sea serpent. I don't know if it's supposed to be masculine or not, but you always get that sense that it's like this masculine serpent. And so we turned it into this, what I like to think of her as a belly dancing queen of the underworld.
And Liz, this sort of goes back, I suppose, to what you were saying about why you joined this band in the first place, right?
Well, I'd say Serpentine Samba, it really, everyone in the band loves it, and it's a point of joy. It really brings us great joy to perform it. And so that's a awesome reason to be in a band, as far as I can see.
Serpentine Samba. Serpentine Samba.
And Lisa, have you done other videos, or will there be other videos? Are you able to do other, plans like that?
I've been doing all the videos for the Dust Bowl Fairies for the last couple of years. There's one for Vampire Tango, which you guys heard earlier on the program, that just came out, that we shot at Bannerman Castle along the Hudson. Uh-huh. But yeah, if you do any kind of search, there's a number of them and more to come.
All right. Well, the album is a lot more fun than it should be, given the subject matter. The Plague Garden is the name of it, from the Dust Bowl Fairies. Ryder and John, I want to thank the two performers, and also Liz and Lisa for joining us as well. I hope that we get a chance to do this in person at some point soon.
That would be so wonderful, and thank you for having us. It's so good to meet you.
And if you would like to see and hear the Dust Bowl Fairies playing live, they are doing the third in a virtual vaudeville series called Wish You Were Here, that's here, H-E-A-R, at Club Helsinki in Hudson, New York. And this next episode in the series will be streaming live on Saturday night, January 23rd at 8 p.m. Our technical director is Irene Trudell. Our producer is Karen Havlick. I'm John Schaefer. Thanks for being with us for Soundcheck. You'll find our videos and much more online at newsounds.org.